Hello and welcome to this installment of Ethnically Ambiguous with Anna and
Shireen.
On this episode,
we're going to talk about the motherfucking cult Harvey Weinstein!
Correct, Harvey Weinstein. And then we will go on to talk about Mr. President Trumbull.
Trumbull?
Exactly. And then we're going to talk about the UN blacklisting Saudi Arabia because they keep killing little kids in Yemen.
It's just as sad as it sounds. We're also going to talk about a dope person called Rami Youssef. He just got a fucking TV show and he's a Muslim American. So shout out to you.
And we're going to talk about Ibtihaj Muhammad, the Muslim woman who fences for Team USA in the Olympics.
First Hijabi woman to ever be on the Olympics. We're also going to bring up some crazy wildfires in Northern California and some insensitive dove ads.
That's right. And Shireen's energy may pick up or maybe it won't. You can only stay tuned to listen because this is the calm before the storm. Name where that quote came from.
You'll find out.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born?
We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Episode 13. Friday
it's
the 13th.
Friday the 13th, bitches.
But it's Monday, and it's not the 13th.
It's not Monday, it's Tuesday.
When this comes out, I was pretending they're listening to it when it comes out.
I have no idea. 13th's on
the
a Friday.
The 13th is on a Friday this
month.
Oh,
it's
month.
This
That's
Friday.
What I was gonna say. Yeah, it's this Friday, Friday the 13th.
Oh, no. Everyone.
Yeah. Watch your backs.
Don't
my car,
do anything.
My car in 2015 on November 13th, which was a Friday, the 13th. My car got broken into and my life was ruined. Well, it wasn't ruined. My life's okay now. But my car got broken into on that night. I'll never forget it. So be careful. Also, I went to IKEA today.
Not, in Burbank?
Yeah, but not willingly. It was for work. And they have Christmas trees in the fucking entrance. They already have Christmas decorations up. We haven't even reached Halloween, let alone Thanksgiving. And IKEA's trying to fucking push Christmas on me. What?
I just want to give a quick announcement. I'm very sick.
Anna's
this is why my
sick.
Voice sounds like this. And I know, every week, it's something new with me. I know, I'm aware. First I'm going insane. Then I have a UTI. Now I have a cold. I get it, okay?
I suggested that I could talk like in a raspy voice, too, just to make Anna feel like better. But I don't know if she's into that idea.
I'm Shireen, that I'm sick, too.
That's incredibly offensive to sick people.
Did you guys enjoy our song last week? I'm sad that not a lot of people listened to it.
We got our numbers back. And let me tell you, we've got about 4 listeners.
2 of them are us.
Yeah.
And Matt, who has to listen to it for his work.
Yeah, he has to listen. And I'm not even sure he listens after he listens.
No, I don't think so either. I think
he blocked
it out of his memory, just like I do.
Every time he sees us, he's always like, hey, I'm Matt. And we're like, what? Why do you keep introducing yourself?
We've met like 500 times. You guys, you should share this podcast with anyone that you think would be interested and get the word out because I think more people should be listening to it. And
I get it. We're women. We're brown. Who cares about us? Even I don't listen to this podcast sometimes.
What's a podcast?
But I also work in podcasts and produce a lot of podcasts. So I have an excuse. I'm so tired. Last night I tried to go to bed at 9 p.m. and I was up till like 2 in the morning just like looking at the wall.
Today,
I was watching Nathan For You this season, you guys.
I haven't been able to watch it yet. Today is day 16 without me having a day off. I've worked for 16 days and I'm going to work for the next 5 days in a row.
You'll make some money, right?
Yeah, I'll make some money for sure. But will I be dead inside? Yeah.
Yeah, but working is good.
I like money more than being alive inside, so I'll take the money.
I work all the time, and I'm completely okay. I mean, I'm dying.
Yeah.
But I'm completely okay.
No one asks Anna on Twitter if she's okay. She does not like that.
I don't really want other people seeing that. Here's the thing. I have a career, and if my boss sees that someone is asking me if I'm okay on Twitter,
if Anna's boss sees her mental decline via...
Actually, here's the thing. My boss is Jack O'Brien, formerly of crack.com. The motherfucker does not give a fuck. I am literally in the office. I sit 2 feet away from him. I am tripping all day about shit. Like, I'm just like, woo, wah, woo, wah. And they call me the Harvey Weinstein of the office. I know. It's intense. They've started saying it on the podcast, too. What are you going
to
do?
I don't know if you want to be known as the Harvey Weinstein of anything.
Why? What did he do?
Oh, you don't know?
I'm just joking. I deep dived. Okay, let me tell you about my week. It started out with someone being like, hey, you hear Harvey Weinstein got fired? Okay, well, it started last week when that shit came out. And then I was like, wow, that's so interesting. And then I've spent the last maybe 6 days reading everything about Harvey Weinstein. Like, I have gone so deep on this motherfucker that honestly, like, I'm starting to believe he's a good guy. That's what? How deep I've got. I've gone so Anna! Deep that I've come around the other side like, well, shit, can you blame him? Like,
I'm you're just joking, right?
I'm fucking around. But I've gotten so deep on this fool. Like, I know every detail about his life. I've known I know how he's made every film win an Oscar and or Golden Globe.
How?
Because I've been reading, girl. I've been on, like, deep timelines of shit of how much money he spent. This motherfucker has no shame.
I hate him.
Like, he has people, like, call random-ass Academy members in, like, New Mexico being like, have you seen this film? Like, he literally has the ability to know where every, like, Academy member lives and will specifically have screenings in their towns. Like, tiny-ass little shitty-ass New Mexico towns will, like, rent out their entire, like, movie theater and be like, hey, Academy members, come see this movie. Like, the motherfucker works it.
Damn.
And I know.
If y'all haven't heard... Harvey Weinstein from the Weinstein Company,
formerly of
AKA Miramax.
It's a different company. Disney owns Miramax. They sold it, right. See what I mean? I know everything. Also, Miriam was his mother's name. Max was his father's name.
There you go. Oh, wow.
Miramax.
She's not fucking around, y'all.
I'm so deep in this shit, y'all. I just need someone to help
me. That's why it's called Miramax.
No.
Oh, wait.
That is exactly what it's called, Miramax. I don't know. You seem so surprised that I almost had to be like, where am I?
But if you don't know, he got fired because of all of these...
he's a dirty, dirty dog.
All of these accusers have been coming forward, telling their stories about how he's sexually assaulted them and or even raped them and forced them into sexual acts, including... intercourse or blowjobs.
And if you have the time, go find the recording of the Italian model who went in as like an Operation Sting wired.
I read about that. I didn't listen to it.
It's wild.
How did you find the audio?
Girl, did I not just explain to you how can you send it to me?
I want to listen to it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you, but it's on the dark web.
But
it's at www.jkk33446-dark web.
I want to write that down. Hold on.
It's not literally, but that is what dark web addresses are like.
I want to go on the dark
web. I've never been to the dark web.
I kind of want to.
No, you do not.
Oh. I don't, I mean, like, I just want
to
know.
Unless you're trying to buy some of that dank ass cocaine, then hit me up. I'm just joking. Please don't.
I mean, I think what's really telling about all of these accounts, because you have like a bunch of people you probably never heard of, all these women that came up that were like in their early 20s, like, just starting out, or even just like an intern that attempt that was at his company. But then there's an article in the New York Times where these big name fucking Academy Award winning actresses, including like Angelina Jolie and Gwyneth Paltrow, Gwyneth Paltrow won an Academy Award for Emma, which was something that was produced by Harvey Weinstein's company.
Cause he be pushing.
And all of those women, like, have gotten assaulted by him, and they tell stories about how he was...
Well, he's harassed them. They haven't all technically been assaulted.
I guess...
We ain't got lawyers. You have to be careful what you say.
Technicality, sorry.
I ain't trying to get no cease and desist from a Weinstein company.
But he has this, like... He has this, like, routine where he, like, goes...
They're called
puts on
Harvey's girls.
He puts on a robe, and he comes back, and he's like, I want a massage, and like...
Yeah, and if the massage doesn't work, he's like, well, then watch me shower.
Yeah, and then he comes back out naked with, like, an erection, and there he's like, look at this nose.
My favorite is Lauren Savon, the TV reporter, said that he locked her in a room and then jerked off in front of her into a potted plant.
What?
I shouldn't laugh, but what the living fuck? At a restaurant that was like closed down for a private event.
Holy shit.
Now, but let me tell you, that is the sexiest thing I've ever heard.
Ew.
Oh, but here's the best part. In this lawsuit against him from another company, like, I think it was a production company or something, that they sued them because they were like, oh, working with the Weinstein company is terrible. They're a bunch of idiots. And mm-hmm. one time we saw Harvey Weinstein. There was like this thing that Harvey Weinstein ate M&Ms off the floor. And they were just like so horrified by it that they put it in the lawsuit.
Oh my God.
And they were like, first of all, we just cannot work with these people.
That's hilarious.
And so and literally he'll like sit at screenings and eat like giant tubs of M&Ms and then like rage out afterward because his sugar rush would be so bad.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This is an adult. Anyway, like I said, I've gotten way too deep.
I think it's because you have these like very vulnerable, naive, like I don't want to call them naive, but like women that are terrified he'll forever ruin their career, that haven't even had a career yet. Then you have these women now that have careers, like Academy Award winners, and like no one is safe. Like you think that these like big shot celebrities have like. An immunity to something like that. But no, when they were just starting out, everyone is intimidated by some big, like, fucking giant that not only is a giant physically, but is a giant in the industry you're trying to be a part of. So, like, yeah, no shit he would have all this power. Like, it's disgusting what he used it for, and I'm glad that it's finally coming to light, but I think it just shows a bigger fucking problem in this industry, and it's something that it's like the casting couch fucking routine has been going on since the dawn of fucking time. And I think that's what upsets me the most is because women have to work so much harder than men in this industry to even get respect.
Yeah, I feel like the song we came up with last week, it's so difficult to be sexy or something like that. It's so true.
Yeah.
It rings so true.
Yeah. I didn't ask for this face and this body. I just have it. Okay.
I didn't either, but let's say it's not working. Let's just say I haven't been invited to any casting couches, if you know what I mean. I'm a monster!
That's Andy's real voice.
I threw my neck out doing that.
Okay. But yeah, all the articles will be in the info on the Pharaoh website and
but
on
be
our
careful
Tumblr.
Because Ronan Farrow, aka son of Mia Farrow and Woody Allen,
showed up.
Originally named Satchel Farrow. I would have changed that name too. But he wrote a very scathing and very dark, like just be ready when
detailed.
You read this shit, you're going to read some shit that's article on the New Yorker about.
Yeah. It's on there too. I put it on
Ronan Farrow is like, he's like the dark knight of sexual assault because mm-hmm. he stood up for his sister Dylan Farrow.
When she said that her dad was creepy.
Woodland Aliens. Woodland Allen?
Yeah, that's his name, right? That's what people refer
Woody
to him
short as. For Woodland, right?
I have no idea.
Huh. Allen short for Allen, right?
Allenford.
Woody Allen.
I feel like it's a fake name, though, right?
I think it is. Well, who knows?
Hillary Clinton and the former president Barack Obama and Michelle Obama commented on Harvey Weinstein because apparently
said something.
Yeah, they're because Harvey Weinstein is a longstanding Democratic donor.
He's a big dem-dem.
Get it? And so Hillary said, I was shocked and appalled by the revelations about Harvey Weinstein. The behavior described by women coming forward could not be tolerated. Their courage and support of others is critical in helping to stop this kind of behavior. And then a statement from Obama and Michelle, well, Barack and Michelle.
Malia was their fucking intern for Weinstein.
What?
Yeah. I mean, he would never touch her because Obama's my dad. That's what we were all joking today that when she's at school at Harvard that they'll be like, she'll be trying to get in somewhere with a fake ID and they'll be like, this is not real. And she'll be like, are you fucking kidding me? My dad's Obama.
Can you imagine like going into like your like orientation or something and you're putting in your mini fridge and you see like Barack Obama like setting up a bunk bed? Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But so Barack said, Michelle and I have been disgusted by the recent reports about Harvey Weinstein. Any man who demeans and degrades women in such a fashion needs to be condemned and held accountable regardless of wealth or status. We should celebrate the courage of women who have come forward to tell these painful stories. We all need to build a culture, including by empowering our girls and our boys and teaching our boys decency and respect so we can make such behavior less prevalent in the future. So when you, like,
I don't, sorry, real quick. You know who Hillary reminds me a lot of after that book that came out?
Mm.
Taylor Swift.
Wait, what?
She's always like, look what you made me do to everybody. Just saying. Just saying it's very Taylor Swiftian in the way that she's just like
blonde
coming
women.
After everyone now.
Both blonde white women, so very, I think...
Bernie's a bitch! It's like, first of all, relax, Hillary.
Out of all the white
that's
women out...
That's your real name.
Out of all the women out there, blonde white women are definitely the ones that are like, let me speak to your manager! So it's like, yeah. Right.
But also, very interestingly enough, there's like a group of women called Harvey's Girls.
What? can you explain?
Oh, do you really want me to? So Harvey's Girls, it's like a group of women. Here, I'll just read an excerpt from this article that I read about it. It's the Harvey Girl. It's on Pajiba, right? Ah, who cares? The Harvey girls are easily spotted. They're all very pretty, often in a rather generic sense. Their instant fame and the push behind them come seemingly out of nowhere and without any justification in terms of resume or skill set. Most obviously, at least as of 2007, they are clothed exclusively in Marchesa on the red carpet, the fashion line of Weinstein's wife, Georgina Chapman. Is that not the darkest shit you've ever heard in your life?
That's disgusting. So does his wife know?
I don't know. I mean, she do now, but I don't know. That's one thing
disgusting.
I never really understood is how that worked out. That it would just be like, honey, look, I got you Blake Lively. Okay, Blake Lively's apparently one of the Harvey girls. I don't know that for a fact. Gretchen Mol was, because she just showed up out of nowhere on some, like, Vanity Fair art cover being like, the next It Girl, and then went nowhere. They say Uma Thurman is one of them. They say Monica Potter.
Mina Suvari talked about her in... He harassed her a lot, too.
Yes, he harassed a lot of women.
So does Harvey's Girls mean that he... Like, what does that mean? Like,
it's like women he kind of, like, takes under his wing potentially for certain favors of hanging out with
disgusting.
Him. To, like, push their careers. Who was that one girl? Sienna Miller was apparently one of them because she got, like, hyped up super fat on, like, Factory Girl and all that and then, poof, disappeared.
Damn.
It's some dark-ass shit going on in this
industry.
So and as the Harvey Weinstein of podcasting...
Oh, God. You don't call yourself that anymore.
I know. I don't want someone to clip that out of context.
No. Anna Hossian, Harvey Weinstein.
I'm just in here like, nice tits, nice tits, nice tits. Hey, look, if you want to do better than podcasting, fix those tits. I was talking all of those to Matt. Look, Matt, you want to be more than an engineer? Fix those tits. Okay, well.
Well, one of the
that's
accounts.
That's going to get clipped and used out of context. I can already feel it. My presidency's over. Or just begun. All right, I would like to announce my campaign for presidency based off those tit comments.
Speaking of the fucking idiotic presidency, Trump is on one. Like, what? Like, there is so much shit going on, and Trump is such a fucking dummy.
Who?
Trump.
I'm sorry?
So there's this guy, Trump,
uh-huh.
Formerly a reality TV show star. He hosted...
What do you do?
He hosted the show called The Apprentice, where people...
Oh, my God, that guy?
Yeah, that guy.
I love that. I thought he had an accent, though.
It's not really an accent, and it's more just like...
Oh, wait, no,
a
I'm
weird
thinking
way
of Schwarzenegger.
Talking. Oh,
I
right.
must have not watched those seasons. JK, I don't fucking know who the fuck Trump is. You know how I know who he is?
I am!
I was gonna become him.
Anna grabbed her face like she was taking off a mask.
I'm like, it's huge. This is great. This is wonderful for everybody.
Great, great healthcare for everybody.
I mean, millions of people will probably die, but what are you gonna do? Look at my dick. It's so small.
And my hands.
The reason I made my hands so small genetically is so my dick would look bigger.
That's funny.
What is this podcast about again? And now welcome to Hands Ambiguous.
Well, Hands Ambiguous.
Well, we talk about hands in an ambiguous context.
Yeah, and the size of them. So Trump fucking, like, he was at a military dinner, and he all of a sudden gestures to the...
This is my favorite thing in the world.
He gestures to the reporters in the room, and he says, you know what this represents? Maybe it's the calm before the storm. Could be the calm before the storm. And one reporter said, what storm, Mr. President? ISIS? North Korea? Iran? The president said, "You'll find out."
Oh my god. This motherfucker.
What the actual fuck?
He literally treats us as if we're watching a TV show. He's like, "Next week on America."
Yeah.
You're like, "You motherfucker." He's like, "Stay tuned to find out."
Stay tuned.
Piece of shit.
I'll tell North Korea they're fired.
Will North Korea be fired? Will Iran be fired?
Stay
alive. You will have to keep watching to find out.
Don't kill yourself just yet. Oh my god. What? Who says that? You'll find out?
A former reality star turned president.
Not only is it, like, very threatening sounding, but it's also just like, you're talking to reporters here, you dumb shit. Like,
yeah, no, he has no sense of anything.
What? And so, then when he was asked to, like, explain them, he refused to explain the remark about Calm Before the Storm. He was like, "I'll never tell my secrets." Like, he didn't say that, but you know what I mean. Like, it's just...
He's like, "I'll never tell. Unless you watch episode 77.
Yeah.
That's the one where I talk about my small dick. Okay, one really interesting thing. An article came out on Politico. I was trying to do, like, Ricola. Anyway.
Politico. Politico.
Sorry, I almost, like, pass out from using that much energy saying Politico. Sorry, guys, I'm sick. I don't have the energy to be doing falsettos.
No singing this time, then?
Our entire song
was in falsetto. Maybe that's what made you sick.
What song?
The song we did last week.
I have no memory of last week.
How's it go?
I don't remember. So, Senator Bob Corker, that's right, Cork Dick, I find a way to say something like dick or small dick about everybody.
Yeah.
Sort of think maybe I'm not original.
Sorry we're objectifying you men, but you deserve it! It's been a long time coming!
Anyway, Bob Dick Cork,
Cork Dick or Dick Cork?
I don't remember, to be honest with you. he's not running for Senate anymore because he's boring. Anyway, he went on TV and he said that, when he was trying to, like, normalize the Trump presidency and all that, he was basically just lying and trying to cover things up. And he said, "Trump is on the war path to World War III," which, you know, I've seen that movie. It's whatever. and the White House has become an adult daycare center. And according to Politico, staffers use tactics like, "We'll talk about it next week," to try and, like, push the president off of bad ideas. And they'll, like, attempt to change the course of the conversation by, like, convincing him that, like, good ideas were his ideas. And apparently these are strategies that anyone who spent even 5 minutes with a toddler will recognize. And more interestingly, also tactics that are used in caring for dementia patients.
Dun, dun, dun. Spoiler alert. Your man's crazy.
So stay tuned to see what's next on Trump.
Like, what the actual fuck? Adult daycare? Like, that's the fucking guy running this fucking country? Like, this world has gotten me so mad and frustrated. And, like, how can we let this happen, y'all? Like, I
don't know. Let's just move on to Middle Eastern things, because we can die here if
we
continue up with Trump.
Yeah. But also, just, like, think about that for a minute. Like,
Weinstein, Trump, Hosnié. No, I'm
joking. Oh, no! Don't put your name in that text.
I don't know why this continual joke of I'm a bad person when...
I think you're a good person. No, don't.
No, Anna, I'm definitely a bad person.
Anna, you're a good person. You have a good heart. Anna, no.
No.
Cut off.
What if next time you see me, I'm wearing, like, full, like, Saudi prince garb?
Oh, my God.
Just like, no, I told you I was a bad person. I've decided to become a Saudi prince. Pence hates it.
Pence hates not only that, but he hates Mulan, apparently.
Yeah, Pence hates Mulan.
Like, it's like
he's like, women in the military, give me a break, Disney.
Yeah,
he's doing, like, those clap emojis. He's like, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? It's like the cheerleading thing. But...
I'm pregnant.
Sorry.
Yeah, let's move on. The more I talk about frustrating old white men, the more I don't want to be part of this world.
Talk about frustrating old Middle Eastern men! That's right, the UN has blacklisted a Saudi-led alliance for Yemen child deaths. Let me tell you, according to Al Jazeera.
I love you, Al Jazeera.
The United Nations has added a Saudi-led military coalition to the blacklist of child rights violators for causing deaths and injuries of hundreds of children in war-torn Europe. War-torn Yemen, not Europe. That's So this alliance assembled by Saudi Arabia in 2015, they are on the annual list of shame for killing and maiming 683 children and for verified attacks of 38 on schools and hospitals during 2016.
That makes me
That is right. So, the blacklist also named Houthi rebel group. Also shame last year, they were responsible for killing and maiming 414 children. That is correct. A known rebel group has killed less than a Saudi-led alliance. Well, what can you say, Saudi fucking Arabia? It's about fucking time someone acknowledged that they're pieces of shit. Stop killing people in Yemen. Just stop doing it. Get the fuck out of there. I know it's all a strategic failure. You guys can't do shit. But I'm talking to you, motherfucker. Mohammed bin Salman.
With the world. I'm so disgusted and
you want
mad
to do this podcast.
About this world. I hate this world so much. Like, what the fuck? These are children. I'm not even a maternal person, but we're talking about kids. Like, what is wrong with people? How are people so evil?
So they were initially placed on the 2016 report, but then were temporarily removed by the then UN chief Ban Ki-moon, who cited unacceptable pressure from the Gulf countries, including threats by Saudi Arabia to cut funding to the UN.
What the fuck?
Saudi Arabia denied this, but they threatened to cut funding to the UN because they were killing. They were literally, okay, we understand there's a bunch of dead kids everywhere just laying on the ground in Yemen, but how dare you put us on a goddamn shame list? It's
what
like, wait, what? Like, how can you live in such a delusional reality where you think that's okay and then you, like, make threats to get taken off this list? Bitch, you ain't shit. That's all I gotta say about you. Saudi Arabia, you ain't shit, okay?
Fuck you.
You ain't shit, your mama ain't shit, your daddy ain't shit, your dick ain't shit, your Jordans ain't shit. Nothing about you is shit other than the fact that you are shit. You ain't shit, but you shit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
I've just lost all fucking... Oh my god, what... Christmas is canceled this year, you guys.
Christmas is... Shireen's called it. Christmas is canceled.
Seriously, what is there to be cheerful about? Like, this is the shittiest world. Fucking kids dying.
In other progressive news, North Korea's Kim has promoted his sister to the center of power. That's right.
That's
North
nepotism.
Korea. North Korea is progressive.
Nepotism wins again.
I'm just joking. North Korea is not progressive, but I just thought that was really funny.
The
UN is sending war crime investigators to Yemen, which is a good thing. Because Yemen is so overlooked.
Well, yeah, what
on
the
so
fuck?
Many instances of people just little kids just being literally like airstrike to death. It's insane.
That's so disgusting. Like, why? Oh my god, there's defenseless little babies, little kids.
All right, well, moving on. Trump plans to directify the Iran nuclear deal this week.
Decertify.
Yep, that's what I meant to say. Decertify. I don't know what derectify means.
That means you put something with the letter D in your rectum.
Oh, that's gnar.
Also, you guys, I'm stress eating because I'm sad, and this is what I do.
Yeah.
So chewing.
So Trump said on Thursday that Iran has not lived up to the spirit of the deal, even though they totally fucking have. Have you seen them make any nuclear weapons? So, yeah, sounds like they've totally done that. So, he stopped short of completely scrapping the deal, but he railed against it. And so, to decertify the deal, Trump's going to kick it to Congress, who then have like 60 days to determine a new path forward. And this is according to CNN Politics. So,
I think Trump just loves the word deal. He's going to try to just do as many things about deals as possible. He just thinks he's doing something, like, official when there's a deal involved. And he said, you'll be hearing about Iran very shortly.
Like, yeah, he said Sarah Sanders, aka Huck a Bitch. She said the president's team has presented a united strategy that the national security team all stands behind and supports, which doesn't make sense because Mathis, remember last week we said Mathis said that
Shout
we shouldn't get out of this deal?
Mm-hmm. I love Huck a Bitch. Huck a Bitch is a great
He says his strategy will be broader for confronting Iran, including ballistic missile program and the support of terror networks in the Middle East, that they're going to, like, basically get down harder on Iran for this kind of stuff. That's according to one senior U.S. official. They don't specify what steps they're going to take to do this, so who knows what's going to happen. Hopefully Congress will kick it back because it's actually a pretty decent deal and they should stay in it, and a bunch of other countries support it, like China and China and Russia and all them fucks. But anyway, who knows what will happen? Yeah. Trump's an idiot. Who knows?
A lot of Democrats are saying that the president should definitely make the certification without a doubt. So you have people on both sides of the fence.
My favorite thing is Trump challenged our favorite hashtag oil boy to an like an IQ test or something.
What?
Tillerson. Yeah, you didn't hear that?
No, what the
and
fuck?
And then now he says it was just a joke, but it was like, motherfucker, this motherfucker ran an oil company. You do not want to challenge his ass to like, an IQ test.
I would pay Trump to
like,
take an IQ test.
He's going to beat you. And then Mensa was like, yeah, we'll hold it. Why not?
I would literally pay Trump to take an IQ test. And then
it's not worth our time because we really don't want to know what his IQ is. It's just going to be a national tragedy.
It's just going to make me cry forever. But I do love what you just made up, Huck a Bitch. What's it called? Copyright that. Put it on a t-shirt. Sarah Sanders, aka Huck a Bitch.
I can't have been the first person.
That's just a really funny thing. You just make me laugh, Anna. That's what friends do. We're friends. What
That's what friends do.
I'm so... Well, I don't even want to talk about the Trump administration and their fucking Obamacare birth control bullshit. It's just making me even more upset. Like, I don't want... Oh my god, I hate Trump so much. I don't want to talk about Trump this much.
Yeah, let's just get off this because it's sad. So, one fun thing we post about on our Instagram that Rami Youssef, a Muslim comedian, is getting a pilot presentation order from Hulu and A24, and it's going to be executive produced by Gerard Carmichael and Ari Kacher and all those fucks.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that's exciting.
That's great.
He says, I'm excited to bring more fully human, complicated, nuanced Muslim characters to television as part of my ongoing attempt to avoid law school. I feel that.
I love that. I love that so much.
Shout out Rami Youssef. Maybe we'll have him on one day.
I would
maybe
love not. That. He just followed me on Twitter.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah. He should join our podcast. That would be fun.
Maybe.
And I love Gerard Carmichael. He's hilarious and his show is so good. And he's just a really funny, good guy. There's a special on HBO that's really good. If you haven't seen it yet, Gerard Carmichael, you should give it a watch. But I trust anything that he makes, and I'm just excited for a Muslim comedian to have a stage.
I mean, it hasn't been picked up just yet, but we getting a pilot.
I mean, I think it's just, it makes me feel better that it's even in the works. Because
a Muslim getting a pilot.
No, because, like, I don't know who said this,
but... Probably talk about Muslims and pilots.
I don't know, it was... Oh, God, you're right. Oh my god, you're so right. Has someone made that joke yet? That's a great joke, but also really sad. Sad because it's true. But I think Riz Ahmed said something to the effect of there are three stages of being like a minority actor or something, and like the first stage is getting that like bit role of being like a terrorist or something, and then there's the next stage where you're like the stage you want to get to is when you play someone that's like it's not written as a brown character. You might even be called Dave or something. Like, I think that's what I'm looking forward to, is maybe one day, like, an Arab American doesn't have to play a role that's supposed to be played by an Arab American. They could just play a role that's meant to just be a role, right? Because we're all just doing the same thing here, and it shouldn't have to be that complicated. You know, you shouldn't have to be a bit character or a fucking, like, sideshow or a terrorist or whatever, so... I'm excited, and I hope it gets picked up, because we need more people out there that can kick butt, and let's try to get him on the show. That would be fun, don't you think?
Who, Rami?
Yeah.
Sure. DM him.
My cousin's name is Rami. I like the name Rami.
Slide up in his DMs.
I don't want to slide up anywhere.
Wow.
Well, since we're on good news, I guess I'll talk about,
okay.
Because, I mean, like, I don't want to be sad forever. There's an Olympian who was the first Muslim American woman to ever wear a hijab while competing for the United States in the Olympics. Her name is Ibtihaj Muhammad, and
She a dope ass fencer.
She's an American saber fencer, and she's a member of the U.S. fencing team, which is the fucking like dopest thing I've ever heard. Like you, like what? You hold a sword for your sport? Like fuck yeah. I think it's so dope, and my friend just actually worked on a shoot with her, and he said that she was really nice, and that makes me feel even more happy.
Shout out Nate Cornett!
Yeah, Nate Cornett! Bow, 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 bow. Nate is my
white
friend.
Man extraordinaire.
Yeah. He actually helped us shoot the pilot for Ethnically Ambiguous back when it was on YouTube and back when it wasn't even a show yet. So he's been there since the beginning. And
let's just say he's no Harvey Weinstein.
He's the exceptional white man that you should all strive to be like. But yeah, he let me know about this Olympian, and she's so dope. I've been reading about her. I'll put a link to her Wikipedia page in the info. She's really cool. Maybe she can be a guest too. We should have all the guests.
Yeah. We should have all the guests. I'm sorry. Yeah. We should have all the guests, Shireen.
Oh.
No, I don't know why I said it that way. We should have all the guests. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Preferably next week.
Oh. Why?
I don't know.
I think we do have someone on next week. And we're going to do something on Sunday, remember? Sunday we're guesting on.
Oh!
Stay tuned to find out.
Thank God Shireen's my personal assistant.
What?
I'm just joking. I do need one, though. I have no idea where I am right now.
I'm not going to be your personal assistant, Anna. You've already asked
why me. Why did I even come here?
Matt!
Matt! It's just nothing. Yeah, you heard me. I said Matt!
Also, if you're confused who Matt is, he's the audio engineer that helps us record most of the time.
And slash my husband. Just joking. I would
Anna told
never.
Him I was dead today.
I told him Shireen had been dead for 2 years. It's that thing you do when people ask about someone, then you make them think they're crazy.
It's like, who's Shireen?
Matt. Shireen's been dead for 2 years now.
Dun, dun, dun.
You have to let go.
And then it's a slow zoom on his face. And it's a single tear as it rolls down his cheek.
You have to let go, Matt. She's not coming back.
Oh, God.
Shireen used to be Matt's wife, and she died in a tragic car accident. Matt hasn't let go since.
Cool.
Was that too inside? Too inside?
BTS.
Was that too 30 for 30 for everyone to understand?
30 for 30?
Wow, 30 for 30 was too 30 for 30 for you to understand?
Oh, wait.
Okay. Okay. No. Look, I'm not here to judge.
Something that's crazy that I saw today. So there's a fire going on in Northern California. Which
yeah,
is,
I want to shout out all my family.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking.
One of my cousins
but,
said she ain't got no power right now. I don't know why I'm speaking like that, but she does
11
not have
people
power.
Have been
and she's pregnant.
11 people have been confirmed dead, and thousands of people have been losing their homes.
This is the greatest. This is not the greatest thing, but it's pretty great. Sorry, I don't know why I said it that way. But a couple married for 75 years, they died together.
That's really sad. Also, like, I guess they lived a long-ass life.
75 motherfucking
years. They died together in the California wildfires? Shit.
Yeah, 75 years together.
Barf.
Now,
I mean, sorry, that's so sad. Oh my God, they're dead. I'm such a fucking bitch.
Charles and Sarah Rippey, they were unable to make it out of their home before it got engulfed in flames.
Oh my God, what? What is
yeah.
this? This is the saddest podcast!
If I'm married to my boyfriend for, or if I'm with my boyfriend for 75 years, let me tell you, it'll be me doing the killing.
Oh God. You kidding. Heard it here first!
Oh,
she wore
God.
The glove!
No, the glove didn't fit. The glove didn't fit. You have to quit.
But I saw on CNBC, there's an article where they show these photographs of the damage the fire has done in Northern California, and it looks like a fucking ghost town, like an apocalyptic world. You have to look at these pictures. It really just hits it home that fire is fucking scary. And like, I personally, like, I was kind of a pyro girl. I was like a kind of a pyro growing up, and I would burn shit all the time.
Showing fire is scary.
I'm an Aries, so low-key, fire sign, really into fire.
Fire is scary.
Anna's going insane. Anna's not sick. She's...
Fire is scary.
Oh my god. That's Anna's voice. That's not a baby. It's Anna's voice. But seriously, look at these images. Look at these images, and just like... Oh my god, it's, the damage is really out of control. I remember several years ago in San Diego, there was a crazy fire as well, and we had to evacuate our homes, and I just remember the whole sky was like red, and you would go outside, you get ash in your eyes, and it would burn, and it was just ash everywhere, and it's really scary to be in the middle of that. So I hope everyone up there is trying to stay as safe as they can, and my heart goes to everyone that's like trying to evacuate, and like there's so much stuff that gets destroyed in that kind of situation. So I just feel for you guys.
Yes. On a more uplifting note, I would like to make another shout out to Anna-Lily Amirpour, who is an Iranian-American director.
She directed one of my favorite movies, Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
There you go, that one. But she has a new movie called The Bad Batch. It's very narnar, but I highly recommend watching it. My boyfriend made me watch it late at night. It fucked me up, but it's okay because an Iranian-American woman made it. So go and support your indie filmmakers who also happen to be Middle Eastern.
I want to see that movie really badly because I'm a huge fan of hers, but it made me sad because it didn't do so well.
It's a little long.
Yeah.
And it's really narnar, so you really gotta be into, like, narnar shit to watch it if you're, like, very easily disturbed, like I. Watch it, but you'll be covering your eyes a few parts.
But Amanpour is extremely talented, and if you haven't
seen... Amirpour. Amanpour is Christian, okay? Don't get them confused. Christian's a god.
Oh my god. Sorry. My bad. I'm like, Persians are so particular.
We're very intense about our Amirpours versus our Amanpours, okay?
My bad. All right.
I'm just joking. Both are great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll step out now. But her style is really exquisite, and I love... her presence in this world is like really important, I think, because not only is she an Iranian American, she's American, Iranian American filmmaker, but she's also queer. So I think that's just dope that she's just out there doing her thing and like proud of who she is, and also not trying to pigeonhole herself. Like her first film, I'm pretty sure it was her first film, Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. It's really, I wish I would have made that film. I loved it so much, and it wasn't really everyone's favorite, but it's a film unlike any other, and it was filmed and set in Iran, in Persian, so I would highly recommend it.
Farsi.
My name is Persian. I'm not Persian. Sorry, I fuck up. But I highly recommend it, and you should always support your women out there, your women that are minorities that have a harder time than the rest of us, because it's true. And whether you're like, you want to believe it or not, there's a race in this industry, and women are like, they're like automatically, when they try to run in the race, they're already like 5 miles behind everyone. So they have to just like catch up. And if they make it, you should support them. And if they aren't there yet, you should also support them. So that's all I got to say for that.
Yeah, I think that's the roundup.
Yeah.
Please share, because our listeners are very low. Nobody listens to this podcast. Feral Audio has been sending email threats to end this show.
Yeah, we're actually recording this from a cave.
They kicked
us out of the studio because we didn't do as well as they wanted. So,
Matt,
please send all your mail.
Matt was kidnapped by us.
Yeah, Matt, he was just, like, sitting in a fucking Starbucks, just, like, twiddling his thumbs, just, like, waiting for something to happen. So we just took him.
So I put a bag over his head.
And he recognized our voices right away because he listens to our podcast. but, I mean, like, I tried to do the Bane voice, but it didn't work without the voice thing.
And I tried to do the Sean Connery voice, which was very confusing because he sounds quite similar to Bane.
Yeah, it was bad. And then I tried to do an accent after that. It just didn't work out, you guys. But the point is, we're in a cave. We're not doing so hot. Please send help and listens. We need listens.
Yeah, we need listens. But I mean, I guess we just also need love.
I think everyone just needs love. What is love?
Do you guys think I'm a mouth breather?
Do you think I am?
I don't know. I breathe a lot out of my mouth, but also my nose is really stuffy right now.
My nose is always stuffed up. My nose is always stuffed up. I think my nose is just a rock on my face. It doesn't do anything. That's why I sound nasally all the time.
Oh.
You know, I actually got surgery to get rid of the...
Oh, you had a deviated spectrum, wink, wink?
Septum, I'm just joking. First of all, spectrum.
Sorry, I was looking at spectrum last night to see if I could upgrade my internet.
Sure. No, but I actually did have a deviated septum, and I had...
Oh, yeah, me too.
Okay, Anna's winking at me.
I'm Persian. No, I'm just joking. I have not had a nose job.
Me either, but my point is... they told me that because my deviated septum was so bad, and I had these, like everyone has turbinates or something. I think they're called I think that's what they're called, in their nose. And mine were blocking my air passages, and so they took them out, and my nose is the same shape. They just took out this thing inside my nose, and then they grew back. So, I still can't breathe. So, it's like, what's the point of living if you can't breathe out of your nose? Running is really hard.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never had a nose job, and when I'm in Iran, everyone always comments about if I've gotten a nose job.
Me
when
too.
I say I haven't, they're all like, oh my god, you're so lucky you didn't have to get a nose job. And I'm like, but you guys don't need nose jobs.
No one has to get a nose job. Like, you don't understand that. Like, I don't have to get a nose job, neither do you.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, my dad's like, hey, if you ever want a nose job, just let me know. And I was like, what the fuck? No, I don't need no nose job.
My parents never told me that. They never told any of us that. My little sister... I
feel like it's almost cultural, like your parents, like when you turn like 10, like Iranian parents are like, all right, yes or no, nose job, and you can be like, what? No. Like, I have a cousin who I was just with, like, in February all month. She like just got a nose job. Like, she looks so different on Instagram. Yes, she posts like 15 selfies a day, but she looks so different.
Dude,
and it's like, girl, you didn't need a nose job.
Post nose job people, or just like girls in particular, Middle Eastern girls, love selfies. Before her nose
she
job,
she loved selfies before, but now she's
out
of
control. But tell me this: before her nose job, were her selfies like really bright or like in really weird angles and stuff like that? Like, just
she was in it.
Selfie queen.
She was in it to win it.
But yeah, you guys just
I'll show you her Instagram later. It's wild.
Oh my god, I'd love to see it.
Shout out to my girl Narges. That's my cousin in Iran. She lives in Tehran.
Shout out to international
listeners. She does not listen at all. Okay. There's no way she listens. She doesn't speak that much English. So anyway, I just want to give a shout out to all my Weinsteins out there. You're all going to jail, motherfuckers. You're all going to jail and you're all going to lose your jobs. That's right. We will smoke you all out. You touch a woman in this goddamn industry, I will find you myself. I will cut your little tiny fingers off. I'll cut your little dick off. I'll lay them all out next to each other. And I'll be like, look at your fingers and your dick next to each other.
Same size.
Attached to you.
And they're the same size.
And I know that's really dark, but like, you know, I work a lot. I work 40 hours a week.
Do you know what I heard about his brother, Bob?
I'm crazy.
Harvey's brother, Bob. Apparently, he stepped out of the company earlier because there were rumors about him doing the same thing that Harvey's doing, but to little boys.
Yeah, I mean, pedophilia in this industry is no secret, thanks to Mr. Corey Feldman. Loves to talk about it. But it is a real thing, so please be careful. Because my theory is, once you get enough power and the ability to do anything and no one says no to you, you really start to indulge the deepest, darkest shit about yourself.
That's disgusting.
Because honestly, why not? And when I get to that level, who knows what the fuck I'll be into.
Yeah. Well, we both know someone
cutting off fingers and dicks. I'll just be like, doing that.
Just doing that.
I'm just joking. Ugh. If I got any more famous than I am right now, which is not famous at all, I would kill myself.
Well, Anna, don't say that, please.
I cannot handle...
If this podcast ever takes off,
cannot
I need another
handle
host.
Anything. Yeah, Matt will step in for me.
Matt is not you. Matt is not you.
No, but Matt is a Matt, and that's enough.
Matt's laughing.
No, Matt's crying. He's so happy. He's been literally sending me emails being like, come on, Anna, you don't even need this. Let me do this job for you.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, that's okay. I've been ignoring them, but I think it's time to bring them to air. I'm going to leak all the emails Matt's been sending me begging for my job. Matt made me sick.
Matt.
Yeah, he put something in my drink. I saw it last week.
Oh my god.
Next thing you know, boom, sick.
You Bill Cosby?
So interesting. They didn't Bill Cosby me, but he's definitely poisoning me.
Wait, what? I'm trying to think of some other reference I can make for that. I can't.
Poisoning someone to death?
Yeah.
Like a nurse.
Okay, yeah, but I said Bill Cosby. I wanted to think of, like, a name. I can't think of one. You guys, what is the point?
All right, we should end this before Shireen, like, really goes all existentialism.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes. You've been having so much fun, Shireen. You've literally curled up into a ball and started eating peanuts. But anyway, thank you for listening. Sorry it got weird at the end. Hashtag Demi Lovato.
Also, wait, hold on. You want to talk about this fucking Dove advertisement?
No.
I just want to know what they were thinking.
They weren't thinking.
Like, what is that ad even? Like, so many people had to okay that.
Okay, so if you've seen this ad, it's a Dove ad that got screenshot and put on Facebook, and it was incredibly racially insensitive. But what
it's
is a black woman puts on some stuff, and then she pulls her shirt off, and she turns into a white woman. And the third frame turns into an Asian woman or something.
Yeah, Asian and or Hispanic, we can't tell. Ethnically ambiguous, y'all. But...
it's weird.
They since have taken it down and apologized for it being racially insensitive. But my question is just, what was the message in the first place? Like, so many people had to okay that ad. Making an ad is a long fucking process. A lot of people are involved. I genuinely want to know what they thought was the ad was about. Because I truly am at a loss. It's so strange. It's a strange ad. Like, it's supposed to be like, oh, women of every shade and enjoy Dove or something, but even though it goes from, like, darkest to lightest or something. Like,
what? I think they were just trying to show every different types of women. I think the thing that was really weird about it is that the woman takes off her shirt and becomes white. So it could have been approached completely differently. Yeah. Because it's been like, oh, cool, a cream for every woman every shade of color, whatever. But it's like, no, but you can't have the black woman turn white after she puts the cream on, and you can't have the white woman turn into, like, it's just, you can't have them turning into other types of races, because then it just implies that, hey, don't you want to be this? Don't you want to be that versus this or that? And it's like, ooh, that's where the racial insensitivity comes from. Did I say that word right? Whatever, I blacked it out. But the point is, like, they didn't really look at the angle they took, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because the cream is fine. It's like, oh, everyone can use it. Whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe just have one person be like, yo, doesn't it look like they're trying to make that black girl white?
Yeah.
That's the problem. But I guess no one could see that, because I bet you that room is filled with old white men.
Right.
And they're like, Dove, right? The soap, it's white. Ha! You know, like, that's how I assume they were like. The entire board of the Weinstein Company is all white men. Anyway, you were saying?
Yeah, that's how problems happen. Old white men. Look at our fucking president. Get him out of there. The last thing I always want to say is goodbye to my preteen teenage memories, because AOL Instant Messenger is shutting down on December 18th, or no, 15th, and so go save all those AIM chats.
Ew, why would you do that?
I'm just kidding. But also, yeah, but it's like if, like, the telephone went away, and, like, your parents can't remember how they called each other when they were younger. AIM is kind of like our telephone, don't you think?
I used to come home every day from school, sign on, get yelled at by my dad that I was spending too much time on the computer. I would swear him under my breath. I'd be like, you motherfucker, you let me do what
still
I
remember,
want.
Do you remember the dial-up tone? And then it goes like, shh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's part of my repressed memory set that I've discussed in therapy.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I don't remember past Wi-Fi. Sorry, what?
I only remember having great Wi-Fi, 5G. So share this podcast with everyone that you think would like it, even people that you don't think would at all, because listens are listens, and I don't care who listens.
So, Shireen, you can bite that ass?
I would bite that ass.
Thank you. Goodbye.